uses directly. Welcome keep out of reach of children. To the hard line.
It's going to be a grind until we start shooting the ball a little bit better from the free throw line from three. It'll be a grind. It's going to be a grind until we figure a few things out. But it's no different than what you see on TV every night in college basketball right now. Everybody's going through their struggles, and it's just an interesting time early in the year. And we're just glad we're able to figure out how to get a victory. Do I wish we were further along right now? I do, but it's why you play these games. We got to use these games to get better. This is our, you know, again, like I said, this is our toughest competition right now. We got to use these games to get better. We have to. It's only going to get harder. I mean, but hopefully we will continue to get better.
That was the voice of SLU Billiken's head basketball coach, Travis Ford, talking about their game this weekend that was called by our own Bob Ramsey. That was a game they had to squeak out against Troy. We were talking about Troy just a little bit earlier. Had a good football team that has had some upsets over the years. Almost had one there against the SLU Billikens. In fact, they were up by 8 with about 7.5 minutes left. They were tied with 3:30 left, and SLU ended up pulling out a 62-58 victory this past weekend.
Well, they were leading almost 33 minutes of the game, Troy.
Yeah.
And that's one of those games, though. It was really a game of two halves, and really about a third of the game, maybe a fourth of the game, where the Billikens played pretty well to be able to pull that one out. It was, you know, you shoot 31% in the first half and 46% in the second half. I mean, it was they couldn't make a bucket. It was really a frustrating night for the entire team. Well, that's not really fair. You know, I started looking at it, and it's funny that when you get, you know, you found a way to win, and that's not good enough. I get that. You want to play. You need to be playing better, and I think everybody's on board with that. One of the things I started looking at is the outside shooting. Shooting threes has just it's really been a point of frustration so far. So on the game, the Billikens only shoot 30%. That's just
that ain't gonna work.
Atrocious and unacceptable.
Yeah, you should be shooting better from that from three.
Free throw shooting is less than half. It's just, and so what happens is you're doing a number of things right, particularly on the defensive end, but you can't make it pay off for you because you can't score on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I'm seeing is the inability so far to be able to use your talent up front, to use the bigs the way you need to. I had the stats in front of me a minute ago, and now I'm not finding my stats.
Oh, from this past game?
No, for the first two games. And the Billiken bigs, you got three guys in Foreman, French, and Gordon. All right? They're shooting on the season 13 of 21 from the field. But you say, oh, that's really good. It's really good. But they've only taken 21 shots.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough. On the other hand, you've got two players who have taken that many shots alone, that's a guard, and two more guys that are right there. And, hey, if you're more guard-oriented, that's fine. But I think what this team needs is balance, and you know you have strength inside. And I think it's twofold. Are the bigs working hard to get open? And when they do, is it a focal point of the guards to get them the ball in the right spot and at the right time? And I think if they start working the offense through those bigs that way, I think things are going to even out a little bit.
Yeah, you look at the box score. Hassan French has got to make some free throws, 0 from 4. I mean, if any of those guys make a few free throws, you're breathing a little easier. 4-point game. Now, Isabel made a big shot at the end of the game. I think he hit that three that helped kind of...
Well, they hit four in a row.
Yeah.
Four threes in a row after not hardly making any the whole game, mm-hmm. and it changed everything. Making shots in basketball cures almost everything.
Sure does.
Make your shots. And they had one stretch where they made their shots. They hit four in a row, and they took the lead and won the game.
These guys are playing a lot of minutes. Isabel played 36 minutes. Goodwin played 35. Best played 35. It'd be nice if you could have another guard taking a few more minutes. Wiley played 17. but it's not a super deep group, at least thus far. If you got all your guys playing, you know, 36 minutes in the game here, and you're going to get tired real quick.
The I anticipate that they'll get a little more rotation with guard play from Fred Thatch and Demaryius Jacobs, who are both freshmen and trying to figure it out as they go along. But I think they'll give him some more time. Fred is really struggling from the field, and I wish he, with that strong body and great athleticism, I wish he'd try and work inside more. He seems content just to shoot threes, and he can't. And he's really, really struggling. One of six on the season. I think as he gets more acclimated to what his role is, and Demaryius Jacobs missed time before he could practice. Getting eligible through the clearing NCAA clearinghouse from his from high school, from his prep school.
Mm-hmm.
And so he missed practice time. So he's really almost a month behind, but they really, really like him. And I think those two guys will help maybe have a player going from 35 minutes a night to 29 or 30, which is much more, it's an optimal situation when you can do that.
Looking at Goodwin's stat line, he's the reason they won that game. He shot 40% from three, and he's got to make some free throws. But 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, a block, and only 2 fouls.
That's who he is.
And 15 points.
Well, we learned that last year. That's who this guy is. He's a stat stuffer. And on a given night, he may not lead in any one category, but he's jamming numbers in every category.
Yeah.
And that's who he is, and he's becoming a leader. And as his jump shot starts to fall, the one he made that really really kind of keyed the win at the very end was about a 25-foot turnaround jumper with a guy on him. And it wasn't a miracle shot. You could see that it was right in front of me. And that was the move he was going to use, and he went up with complete confidence and absolutely drained it. We saw that when he nearly had 3 triple-doubles in a row, or 3 triple-doubles at the end of the season last year, right before his season ended. And you could see that confidence coming. And I think we're going to start to see it again, and I think we already are. And the scoring will go along with all the other things that he brings to the game.
Are the boys as far along as they need to be? Because Travis Ford certainly doesn't think so.
No.
I mean at this point in the season. Should they be further along today? As opposed to, I mean, look, we're seeing this right now with Kentucky. People are ruling Kentucky out because they got blown out by Duke, and then they squeaked out a win in game number 2.
Against Carbondale, yeah.
Yes. But they're going to be fine. I mean, you watch John Calipari's teams. They're way better game 30 than they are game 2, and they always kind of find a way to do that. I don't know how Travis Ford is with developing guys.
Yeah. Well, we saw it last year. The team, even though they were decimated on their roster, they continued to get better as the season went along. Same thing I think will happen this year. Remember, you only have 4 returning players. Not 4 returning starters. 4 returning players.
Right.
And it is going to take a little time for these guys to come together. I hope it's sooner than later, because after Tuesday night, tomorrow night's game, the schedule gets, I mean, you got Seton Hall at Seton Hall, and then you've got that 4-game stretch that's just brutal in December. So the games are going to be coming quick and tough. Tomorrow night, you hate to throw this out into the universe, but you know, you're playing North Alabama, which is a first-year Division I team. So that's going to be a little different from the Troy game, where people may not know Troy, but they go out and compete. People could see their talent,
right,
and they're going to win a lot of games in the Sun Belt. This is a different team coming in, so it's time to execute and make things happen and build that way in a game where you should win big, because then the road gets a lot tougher.
And there's a group of solid guys in this team. You got some playmakers. Isabel is a playmaker. Goodwin is a playmaker. I think Gordon is a guy that's going to have some substantial increases in his contributions as the season goes on.
He's really good.
This is a really high ceiling team, I think.
No doubt.
That's just nowhere near where they have to be yet.
There's no doubt. Losing the 2 bigs before the season starts hurt what was really a great, great group of 5 bigs. Now you're down to 3.
Right.
So that you can't change that. The team is what it is now. And so the depth at big is going to be where it wasn't a concern. In fact, it was something you felt like you could brag about. Now it is a concern, but the three you have are terrific, and you're very happy with that trio. So I think what's going to happen is Cartier is going to blossom. He's played two college games so far.
Yep.
He's really talented. He can literally do anything on the court, and they'll bring that along slowly and let the game come to him, and he's going to be fine. This is a very, very good group.
Yeah, I like him. Hey, I got to tell you about the Brewery Lights here in St. Louis very quickly. It wouldn't be the holidays without the lights. The Brewery Lights at historic Anheuser-Busch, featuring two new activities for the kids this year: nightly screenings of Frosty Snowman on outside movie screens, and a kids zone featuring the Brewery Lights Express Train. All aboard for family fun. Adding over a million lights, the tradition of the Budweiser Clydesdales, roasting s'mores in an outdoor ice skating rink under the glow of the Budweiser sign, and it is a holiday tradition unlike any other. Come for the free walking tours and stay for all the festivities every Thursday to Sunday, November 15th through December 30th. Brewery Lights at Anheuser-Busch, where holiday magic is always brewing. For more information, visit brewerylights.com. So I imagine since it was on national television, it was on, you know, regular Fox 2, everybody got to see the Mizzou game on Saturday, right? Oh, no, it was actually on iowastate.tv, where they periscoped it for 4 minutes of the game, and that's all you got to see unless you paid. By the way, even if you paid...
I don't know a lot of those words.
Yeah. Even if you paid, Periscope is Twitter's version of their live stream.
Right.
And even if you paid, a lot of people were having issues getting Iowa State TV to work. Here's why. Iowa State doesn't have any fans, so all the Mizzou fans were actually crashing their server. That's problematic. Mizzou, by the way.
Is that what happened?
No, but
right.
Probably. Mizzou, by the way, played absolutely atrocious. Lost 76-59. Very, very similar to their Utah last year. They got crushed by Utah earlier in the year. The difference is Mizzou was somewhat encouraged by their overall talent and youngness. Well, it's a bunch of young guys. Eventually, they'll get it together. Eventually, everything will be fine. They had 25 turnovers.
I think that, you can't do that.
25. I think last year the most they ever had was 23. I think they did that twice. And it wasn't just one guy. I mean, across the board here, everybody was turning the ball over. Tillman had five turnovers. Look, if you're a five, you should never have five turnovers. What? If they get you the ball in the paint, turn around and take a shot or take it back out.
And I didn't see the game.
Nobody did.
Because I don't know how to work a Periscope. But if you're trying to run your offense through a big and they handle the ball a lot, you know, that could happen. I'm not saying it's okay.
Sure.
I'm not trying to say that. But it can happen when a big has become a focal point of the offense.
Yeah, he is not a passer, if you've watched Tillman at all. Jonte Porter was the passer.
Right.
He was the guy that you were going to run
a
the
great
offense.
Passer.
He was a phenomenal passer. And he was the guy. What I loved watching last year was where it's been a long time at Missouri, and very few people have a big who has the passing ability that Jonte Porter did. My favorite passes last year were his ones to Tillman, because he'd be underneath with three guys getting ready to slam on him, and now Tillman has an easy dunk. And that was routine,
right,
where you'd have two big guys. You'd have Jonte up on the high post, and he'd sneak underneath for an easy dunk, and it happened all season long, especially in the second half. This year, it's Tillman, and you got a bunch of young dudes who are just trying to make it through. Mark Smith went 5-for-8 in his first game, 3-for-8 from three in this game, still fine, but my issue with this is, unless this is who he is, and it's not who he was last year at Illinois, and he's going to be chucking up 8 threes a game, and he's going to have nights where he's 0-for-8, he's going to kill the offense. Because guys who have success shooting threes early on, and they're taking it 8 a game, then they're going to hit a cold streak and not realize it. So maybe this is who he is, and this is who Cassius Robertson was last year. This is who Jordan Barnett was last year. I wanted those guys to take 8 threes a game. I'm not convinced this is who Mark Smith is, so it scares me a little bit.
But he could be.
I sure hope he is.
Cup half full. He could be.
I sure hope he is. Honestly, Jordan Geist is the worst player on the team right now, and he last year we've talked about, you know, how tough he has been, but he just can't be handling the ball. I mean, he 3 turnovers. Fouled out, 6 points. He just doesn't add much to you, and he played 29 minutes. So when you got a guy, he has such a low ceiling. Jordan Geist is a guy that He is tough out there. That's good. But your tough guy should be your seventh man who comes in there to make some plays here and there and really D somebody up. But he doesn't have the size to D you up anyway, you know? So you are in a rough spot there. You're going to have to figure out a way to get some of your guys. Xavier Pinson has to get going. He played 16 minutes on Saturday, 4 points. He's the guy that I hope is your eventual starting point guard here, because who you wanted last year, this would be the perfect team to have Blake Harris. Blake Harris transferred, went to NC State last year. He was a guy that didn't particularly like to pass, and everybody always said his dad was like an NFL linebacker, and he looked the part and all that. And what he would do is he'd get the ball, and you weren't going to take it from him, and he would go straight to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And this team could sure use a lot of that. You need that, and you need a shooter, because right now you got Kevin Puryear standing out there playing 29 minutes. He's fine. Like, this is who he is. We talked about that. He gave you 10 points, couple turnovers, got one assist, one steal. He did get 5 rebounds for you. But he's mostly just a dude out there. So if you got a bunch of guys out there who are just dudes for you, that's a pretty low ceiling team. Right? This is the opposite of what we're talking about with Slew, right? Slew is a good, wow, that I can work with that. You got a bunch of dudes, you're like, okay, by game 22, I'm really excited about this. Mizzou had that last year. Tillman, when you're early in the year, you're like, oh my gosh, he's so much more polished than I thought he'd be. His drop step is so much more polished than I thought of. He actually, if he uses it properly, has a decent 14-footer. He doesn't use it properly very often. But if he does, there's a time for that. And he had a lot to offer last year. And then you saw what Jonte could do when you were floored by how mature his game was at a young age.
Right.
You had hope with Michael Porter Jr. coming back. Barnett was so much better than you thought he'd be. Cassius Robertson came out of nowhere. You had a whole bunch of dudes where you're like, oh my gosh. If Michael Porter Jr. comes back healthy, by the time it's tournament time, this is a team that can make a run. You're talking Sweet 16, Elite 8. It's the opposite this year where you're like, I don't know if they could do any damage in the NIT.
Well, I think... I think it's too early to really think big picture, and I think can you start to get better in some of the little things. And one, you started your commentary, you got to protect the basketball. 36 turnovers in 2 games, that's not a ratio you want. Can you keep it to single digits per half? You know, can you get it down to where you're, 12, 14 turnovers a game? Those are numbers you can manage. But when you're giving away that many possessions – you have to be so good to overcome that. So I think looking for some of those smaller victories within the team and figuring out what individuals can help you achieve those smaller victories, maybe rework what you maybe it's a different rotation than you thought you were going to have going in, and trying to find that group. I think those are the things you've got a little time to figure out.
Underneath, too, you just don't have... Here's Mr. Positive, glass half full. Tillman had 2 fouls. If you want that's one good takeaway, that's a big deal there. 2 fouls for a guy, and he got to play... He still only played 24 minutes. But the reason that we figured this out last year, Tillman is a guy that if you try to play 30 minutes, is going to foul out every single time because he's tired. He fouls when he's tired and have his routine. So what they started doing is he would play like 3 minutes and they'd pull him out to start the game. Good. Get a little breather. We'll get you right back in. Just take a minute, because if you're tired, you're going to have 3 fouls and you're going to be sitting
no good
mandatorily, as opposed to me getting you a breather for a minute. So you got to try to get Mitchell Smith in there a little bit. He played 16 minutes, gave you 5 rebounds. What's really discouraging for me is this. I think Iowa State is pretty good. They're a tournament team, I think. But when you go through the turnovers, you had 4 dudes who had 4 or more turnovers. It wasn't like one guy just couldn't handle it, and or the point guard felt overwhelmed, and you got a
team
different guy.
Team epidemic.
Oh, yeah. You had 5 turnovers from Tillman, as I mentioned. Javon Pickett had 4. Mitchell Smith, another big down there, had 4. And then Xavier Pinson had 4. Xavier Pinson had 4 in 16 minutes. That ain't going to fly. At least when you're talking about some of the other guys who had some more. Geist had 3 in 29 minutes. Now, that's not the worst. If you have a turnover once out of every 2, you'd like to keep it 2 or less. But sitting there at 3, Geist, while he's not adding much, typically happens to be okay in that area. I'll tell you right now, I'm not very encouraged. And I didn't even get to see this game, but I'm telling you, like, following the guys who were at the games, Gabe DeArmond and those guys, and reading the reports of what happened at that game and seeing some of the first game, this is not a high-ceiling team. And generally, in today's style of basketball, where it is, positionless, it's not great if you're trying to run the offense through a 5.
I think that the opportunities here, if you are lacking in a little talent and can clean up some of the things we mentioned, turnovers, can you become a better free throw shooting team? Can you concentrate on becoming a defensive team? It's not pretty to watch usually when you're trying to win 62-60 or better yet, 60-58 or 58-55. But it might be the kind of season. I'm not saying it yet. Again, I really think it's too early to make any real declarative statements on this team in this season. But that you might have to decide we're going to have to grind this out. And then can you get the commitment from the team to say we're selling out on defense and that's going to be who we are? And those are the things that the club probably has, you know, a few weeks to a month to figure out and decide.
What you just described is virtually every Conzo Martin basketball team that's ever been assembled.
That's why I think that it's too early to declare a disaster.
Yes.
Because he's had teams that have talent. He's had teams that are less, you know, not as talented and has found ways to win.
But they all sort of cling to defense. Their offense is pretty messy. So last year was an anomaly for him because you had guys, Cassius Robertson and Jordan Barnett, who could knock down shots, and any given day the offense looks incredible. But you noticed it last year. You didn't have much creators out there, and unless it was a guy, Jontay Porter did this a couple times, who just took over and did it himself, there wasn't much to the offense.
That's why, and I'm not sure it got answered, but that's why having a terrific point guard to really run the show, and they may not have it this year. And so, you know, losing Jontay is, you know, you lose your best player. You lose a pro.
Yep.
That is a hard thing to overcome in basketball when you have somebody that's clearly better than everybody else. You know, it's the Bulls losing Jordan. It's the Cavaliers losing LeBron. I mean, it's just, that's how it is. So, but it doesn't mean you have to give up, because if you're, can commit to defense and cleaning up the other things, turnovers, free throw shooting, all those kinds of things, you can become a team that may not be pretty, but can find ways to win.
And you are justifying why Jordan Geis plays at all. That's it. Because he's going to get down. He's not afraid of work. He's going to be physical with you. He's going to be tough, and he's going to grind it out. The issue is, if it is so hard to win that way if you have nobody that has any offensive skills.
I've been through it, brother. You don't have to tell me.
Yeah, and you don't have any guys that can knock down a shot. At least if you have that style, then you can go on the other end. Where typically when you have a defense-first style game, it's like the 04 Pistons, right? They were so bad offensively because they were exhausted by the time they got down to the other side of the court, right? The only guy that ever made a shot on that team was Rip Hamilton, who was the Energizer Bunny. He'd run around and shoot 18-footers all day long. But those guys were – Ben Wallace did nothing on offense. Why? Because he just blocked four shots on defense, and he's exhausted and has nothing else to give. So when you are a defensive-style team first, if you can't knock down shots, dude, you're in for a long year. And you're right. You're going to have to grind it out 58-56 a lot. And those 58 points, a lot of them are going to be on free throws at the end of the game.
That's exactly right. And you can find ways to win doing that. But, man, the kind of commitment it takes – is something, but Konzo's the kind of guy that can do it, as you pointed out.
Yeah. Yeah, so I by the way, I love Konzo. I think Konzo is one of the better things to happen to University of Missouri. You will not speak to anybody involved in the sport that doesn't rave about what a good man he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he cleaned up a spectacular mess that was not necessarily left to him because of Kim Anderson, but it was the handoff from Kim Anderson, and they went through their, you know, the sanctions and everything that was going on for those 3 years after Frank Haith. It was a really rough go. And to put together that recruiting class, I don't care how you did it, if you had to hire, however you did it, don't care. But you put it back together and made basketball interesting. And I think as fans, we should take a step back and say, this is actually the rebuild that should have occurred last year, and you had an anomaly of three top 25 players coming in all at once, and you hit the lottery with a graduate transfer from Cassius Robertson.
Right.
That's really what happened last year.
Yep.
And you lost them all. Because Tillman's not going to be the game changer, but he'll be serviceable and he'll be good for you. But he's not Michael Porter Jr. coming in. He's not Cassius Robertson. If you had Cassius Robertson on this team, this is twice the team right now, because he's a guy that can knock down a lot of shots.
And like you didn't want to predict how Smith is going to be, but he might be a guy that if you get the other things sort of figured out, a good scoring guard, a good scoring big guy. We're going to block it down on defense. You can create a formula where this could be a pretty good team.
So the reason I say his three-point shooting, last year he shot 23% from three. That's the reason I say I'm a little bit scared that he's shooting 500.
It's fair to say let's wait and see.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. Right. That's the reason I voiced my concern at all, because if I didn't know anything about him, I wouldn't come out and say, man, he's shooting a lot. Hoping
but he was highly regarded going to Illinois.
Yes.
And so if he becomes the scorer that Mizzou needs him to be, people won't be shocked, because that's kind of what his pedigree was.
Yeah, and I don't know if I didn't follow him enough in high school to know if he's known as a shooter. But looking at his stuff last year, he shot 33% from the field altogether. He shot 23% on 69 shots from three. And he shot less than 80% from the free throw line. So he really struggled last year. And you know this as well as anybody.
That's why he wanted to go.
Exactly. And a lot of that can be, you can suck under a poor regime that does not necessarily create an environment for success. And you, even as a really talented player, can suck. So maybe that's why he wanted to get out. I don't know. I hope he's the guy that's shooting 50% from three. That would be fantastic. So far, he shot 62% one game, 37 the next. I'll take 37 for most of the season. If he can get up close to 40, that'll work.
37 solid.
But what I don't want to see is a guy who got hot to start the year, and now he's chucking up 8 threes a game, even though he's a 23% shooter. That ain't going to work. So we'll see how it goes. I hope he's the guy that can turn. If he wants to be Cassius Robertson this year, or Jordan Barnett, if he's more of a set shooter, whatever it looks like, great. But they're going to have to find something. And as you pointed out, I don't think it's going to be pretty. Hey, make sure you go vote for the High School Athlete of the Week, brought to you by Schnucks. That, of course, is right up on the 5-9 of the Fan website. Go check that out. Schnucks, one of our fine sponsors here on 590 the Fan. I was just in Schnucks yesterday, actually. Schnucks is very underrated. Very, very
I love Schnucks.
I do, too.
Always been a Schnucks
fan. Yeah.
You know, one of my first jobs.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Still a good bagger.
Yeah. I believe that. You know, there's some skills you just never forget.
That's right.
That's good stuff.
I'm a little unorthodox, though. Pardon
really?
My interruption. They want you to go two hands.
Yeah?
I would be the one hand, the flip. I was the flip guy. Flip, flip, flip. They want you to go two. So I was...
More efficient, too, though, weren't you?
I like to think so.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I like to think so. I had a little pride.
We got a lot of NFL news coming up, and this is not NFL news. Did you see the Zach Smith tweet barrage yesterday?
Mm,
all
no.
right. I'll tell you all about it. It is fantastic. He went to town on Tom Herman. So we're going to go break, talk some NFL, talk a little college football on the way back. It's Hardline.